Wild Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another exciting edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's at MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Boys Basketball Vikings, Matt Coles. My name's Carl Knox. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, we certainly appreciate you taking time to get caught up to speed on everything that is Vikings boys basketball. As the regular season is in the rearview mirror, coach, and it's time to recap the final games of the regular season, as well as talk a little bit about the survive and advance segment of the season. And also your personal life and Valentine's Day. How you doing?
All right, man. How's it going?
I think it's okay. I'm not positive yet, but Mr. Adobe Audition here has decided to wig out on me a little bit today. So we're
always at the mercy of technology.
Yeah, whatever happened to the good old days with, the simpler things? But you know, that's the way things roll now, and that's what we got to roll with.
That's so right.
Everything good in your world? I take it.
Things are going fine. Got the season wrapped up finally, even with all the weather. And, we were able to win a couple this weekend and now focus on tournament.
Well, and we do have some games to go over. You actually got three of your games in. That's kind of a record in the past 6 weeks as you finally do get your regular season in. I think how many games non-league you lost? The Trimble, Southeastern, and one Logan.
And then the other Logan game. We were going to play them twice, yeah.
So instead of a 22-game season, you get 19 games in.
19, yeah. I heard, I can't remember who it was, told me they were at 18. And somebody else 20. So it's happening everywhere, but not just here. But unfortunately, that's the way it shakes out.
Well, that's the way things roll. Is this probably one of the more memorable winners weather-wise?
This is one of the weirder ones. We've had bad ones before, but where you might lose two or three games over a week or two period.
And
that happened
it.
Like three times, this time around. And really, this weekend, we were fortunate to get both games in as it was then. So
yeah, it was interesting from the standpoint of both Friday. You can make an argument. There were several teams, especially down towards the river, that Friday they scrapped their game,
right.
And then Saturday the weather was better, but there was still a little suspect. But you guys and I give you credit, and Mr. Brooks at our superintendent of schools for all those janitors and all the people that put in all the hard work to get the parking lots and sidewalks and all that thing ready. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that goes on there,
right.
We do have some things to talk about as far as past games. As you, unfortunately, this past Tuesday night, and by the way, we are recording this Monday afternoon, February the 17th, if you care. But this past Tuesday night, February the 11th, you guys host the Guy Academy Blue Devils as you lose a toughie, 54-52 to the Blue Devils, despite having a 10-point lead at the half, 34-32. I guess the main topic of conversation for this game, not that it's something you really look forward to discussing, but man, that third quarter, and I know the third quarters have been tough for you, but Guy Academy comes out in the third quarter and goes on a 20-6 run in the third quarter to kind of capitalize and take a 4-point lead, and then they take care of business despite you guys scoring 10 points to their 12 in the fourth quarter and come out of there with a 2-point road win at your place for a victory. Just in general, what was your what happened the third quarter?
We've had some issue in the third quarter. We've had some good ones, we've had some bad ones. There's really been no in between. I mean, honestly, we've either blown somebody out in the third quarter, we've gotten blown out. There hadn't been a whole lot of middle ground there, but we just came out and broke down defensively the first couple trips, and I think that gave Gallipolis confidence that they were getting right back in it. And then Offensively, we struggled. You got to give them credit. I thought their size bothered us in terms of trying to score inside, and then, you know, that makes you a little one-dimensional, just trying to score everything on the perimeter. So, but they, you know, they played really well on that particular night. They're a talented team. And, you know, they're a team that I think has played a lot better lately. They have, you know, obviously a new coach they got used to, and things seem to be clicking better for them now. But there's no lack of talent there at Gallia Academy. They have some players.
Yeah, and they had some size, and down on the block, they kind of gave some of your bigger players, Chase Wood, Max Ward, kind of gave them fits as they played some good defense down low and kind of threw a wrench into that aspect of the game. And then, like you said, it was kind of one of those deals that in the third quarter, things just at first it was kind of like we'll get it back, and then all of a sudden the kind of the deer in the headlights look, and you get that with any team, let alone an inexperienced team. For the Vikings, you guys were led by Chase Wood with 12 points. Alex Owens has 10. Jordan Albright has 11 points. Max Ward 8. Bartow has 3. Lambert has 2. And Ryan Slopko 6 for the Vikings, as you guys shoot 36% from the field, 40%, 6 of 15 from beyond the three, and 8 of 14 for 57% from the free throw line. Only 7 turnovers, but the Vikings, you lose that one. And then this past Friday night, Valentine's Day, February the 14th, this is the romantic part of the coach's season. He gets to scream, yell, and get crazy on the sidelines.
Yes.
That's your idea of romance, because that's how you roll. But yeah. Anyhow, you guys pick up a 64-46 win down at Wellston. Kind of a game. You guys come out in the first quarter, and Wellston ties you up 16-all. You guys go into the halftime with a 33-31 lead, and then really open things up in the second half as you hold the Wellston Rockets to only 15 points in the entire second half. And you guys outscore them comfortably 15-10 in the third quarter and 16-5 in the fourth quarter for the win. But despite a convincing win, Wellston, always a hard place to play. And early in that game, I thought you guys looked a little bit, rusty, lethargic, slow, whatever the word you want to use defensively. What changes did you guys make there to kind of turn the corner there at Wellston?
Well, I just thought in the first half, I think we were at times, you know, overextending our defense a little bit, maybe being a little over-aggressive, gave up several pick-and-roll baskets, couple backdoor cuts, some open threes where we weren't able to rotate properly. And so the talk at halftime was just to get back to the basics defensively and go back to the fundamentals and not try to cause a turnover on every play. And I think sometimes kids think, you know, unfortunately, well, we beat these guys kind of bad at our place and they've been struggling, so we should just go out here and blow them out by 20 points in the first quarter. And that's not realistic, you know. You know, teams are going to, you know, have a game plan, and Coach Graham's group had a game plan, and they were executing it, and we were just running around at times unorganized. And so I thought our defense was better organized in the second half, and we were able to gain control that way. So, you know, hopefully the kids learn from that.
Scoring for the Vikings, Chase Wood and Alex Owens both have 12. Jordan Albright with 11. Max Ward with 10. Tristan Bartow with 6. Ryan Slopko with 9. Bo McIntyre gets in off the JV bench there and gets 2 points. And Austin Lambert comes in with 2 points for the Vikings as you guys go 52% from the field, 25% from the three-point line, and 12 of 20 for 60% from the free throw line for the Vikings. Only 9 turnovers for Vinton County as you guys pick up that win this past Friday night, February the 14th. And then finally, a game that seems like we've had it on and off the schedule way too many times. You get the Megs game as they come up here for the Hall of Fame night as Dave Kite and his Marauders come into town, and you guys get out of Dodge with a 46-40 win. But despite, the Megs, the roster, I think they only have 8 kids, if I'm not mistaken, eight kids.
Yeah, I know they have a small roster.
And then they one of their better players, I don't know, left the team, quit, whatever the circumstances. Caleb Sheets no longer on that squad. But all those things, you know, being the case, Megs played you very tough in the first half as they come out and outscore you 12-9 in the first quarter, and you go into the halftime with a 20, or you go down, you're down 22-21 at the half. It was kind of the third quarter where you came out and outscored them 14-8 and kind of took command of that game. But you got to give Megs some dap there. They play tough defense.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they're a tough physical group. That game was physically played, and And I thought that they executed their game plan, and we played pretty physical defense ourselves, and that leads to one of those, you know, knockdown, dragout type of affairs. I think the difference probably for us was we didn't shoot the ball real well. I mean, if you look from the floor, you know, we shot from the 2-point, we shot pretty well and took care of the ball at times decently. I know we had 15 turnovers, but that was one of those games where it was just hectic, you know, and chaotic and physical. But I think our 3-point shooting percentage was pretty bad. We missed a lot of threes that we typically make, and I think that's probably the difference in us being able to get that score into the mid-50s, you know, instead of the mid-40s.
Well, nonetheless, it's a victory as you guys round out your regular season with a 12-7 overall mark, 8-2 in the TVC Ohio, and that's good enough for sole possession of second place for your Vikings. And, of course, Athens undefeated in the TVC Ohio. I know they still have a game to play.
At Meigs, yeah, and Meigs has to play Nelsonville as well. So there's still some basketball to be made up here after the tournament.
I mean, it doesn't really make any difference. I mean, as far as the standings.
Right, but it's in the bylaws that you have to make up all league games, so they're going to have to try to find a way to make it up. And I think state rule-wise, I think you have to have everything made up by March 1st. So they're going to have to squeeze it in. And in like a case like Athens, for instance, they're very capable of making a deep tournament run, so they may end up having to play this game not only after the, you know, a lot of these teams might be playing after they lose their tournament game.
Right.
Athens may be playing this thing in between tournament games, and that would be very weird.
I mean, as a coach, once you get into tournaments, you want to be focused on the next game at hand. And not that, you know, Athens is a plenty talented team, but I guess that the last thing that Coach Jeff Skinner wants on his plate when he's playing for, you know, if they make it that far in
right.
the district.
Let's say you're getting ready to play in the district semifinals or the night after you play the district semifinals, you really don't want to play a regular season game. You
right.
know?
And then, you're not doing the kids'
so
legs.
It's going to be interesting.
Well, yeah, that should be it. But hopefully, I know the weather forecast saying that here in the next couple of days, we're supposed to get a thaw and maybe we might actually see green grass here. Well, not green grass.
Yeah, probably brown.
Brown.
We'll take
brown.
It.
Yeah, brown. Nonetheless, I just want to see. I'll take mud right now over snow. But regular season's in the book. You got to get going. So you want to go ahead and do a preview now?
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we can talk a little bit about the upcoming tournament, and then I'll let you and our official director of basketball ops sit down with
our
Paul Boggs.
So you're going to let the boss man come in the studio?
I mean, he may have to come in here and observe. I mean, you know.
Oh, that's right. I get evaluated. That's part of my contract deal is I do get evaluated at the
end. Yes.
Wow, that'll be interesting. Our guest this podcast is none other than Paul Boggs of the Jackson Times Journal, as we like to have a media person in here late in the season to discuss the tournament. And I know you really don't get into the D4. You don't. I mean, socially, you don't usually go to D4 games when you.
No, I kind of like paying attention to the D3, D4. I tell you, the D3 is going to be an interesting tournament. I'm sure you guys will talk about it. That Waverly sectional was loaded over
and
there.
And the thing was, last year, the Jackson sectional was the
loaded. Yeah, I mean, it goes back and forth, and that's why we talked last week. Got on my rant about the super sectional, but you know, you take like Oak Hill. I was talking to Coach Pearson yesterday, and. You know, he knows he's got a tough matchup, but at the same time, looking out, I think, you know, feels like if he could get that sectional, you know, he's got an opportunity like anybody else does to make a run. I know talking to Zane Trace, Southeastern, mm-hmm. some of these other D3 schools, I mean, people have their hands full. I mean, that Eastern Brown team we played earlier in the year, they're 15-3 and got a 4 seed. You know,
wow.
So I think them and Southeastern line up playing each other. So it is going to be an absolute, you know, chore to get out of that D3. We've already talked about how bad D2 is, but it's going to be an interesting tournament. So I do enjoy following. You know, I'll keep my bracket pinned to my bulletin board there and fill it out as we go, just so I can kind of keep track of how teams are doing. But no, I don't get to watch obviously much of that. You know, trying to prepare for my own tournament, but.
Well, and I know it's really not fair to ask for your prediction because, one, and you, I guess to some degree you're kind of ignorant. I mean, you've heard stories and you know their rankings and their, but for you to actually, well, unless it's an opponent, for you to go out and watch a game, a lot of these teams you haven't seen.
Right.
So, but no, you're right. That D3, the D3 district is going to be, there's going to be some good basketball there.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
But anyhow, let's talk about D2. You said you had a meeting yesterday. What was that? That was the coaches' meeting.
That was just our district coaches' meeting where we vote for all district. That'll be released here in a couple weeks.
And that's highly classified. You can't divulge that information.
Yeah, you know, they say wait till after everybody's out of the tournament. It becomes old news because, obviously in boys and girls combined, somebody's going to make a deep run. But I usually try to release that right around the district, between the district semis, district finals of boys, right there during the district tournament.
Right.
So that'll be coming out. And we had TVC meeting yesterday, and they'll release that later on. So those are just like your all-league meetings and stuff like that.
The district, and you being the district, you're the head coach. What's your title?
Director.
District director. You're allowed to do that at your leisure. I mean, there's no parameters in terms of when the district can release that.
Well, I mean, I think there's always kind of been an agreement we would wait till after everybody's out of the tournament. But the problem with that, like I said, it becomes old news by then.
Right.
You know? If we'd have waited till everyone was out of the tournament last year, Warren was in the state tournament.
Yeah.
So nobody really cares at that point.
20th of March.
You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be more around the district. We'll let that out. And because I think fans want to see that, and kids want to be recognized in a timely fashion. So, of course, we'll have our All-Star game. District All-Star game will be March 17th at Jackson High School. So,
decision been made in terms of who the coaches as the district coach of the year?
Yeah, well, the district coaches of the year handle that. So, like in D2, Coach Skinner, and I'll just go ahead and say this, Coach Skinner and Coach Maddox were co-coaches of the year. So, I want to congratulate those guys. So, assuming one of those guys isn't playing in Columbus, they'll be coaching that, and all the other coaches of the year will kind of take care of coaching those teams. Yeah.
So all the coaches last week together for seeding, and then the District Coaches Association together yesterday.
Right.
Did you make anyone mad?
No. That's a funny thing. A lot more laid back, man, at this. So. It is what it is, but a lot more laid back at these meetings.
Well, good, because I'm one of the off-season projects I heard management is discussing is this, sending you to a public relations seminar this summer.
As long as there's a golf course there, send away.
Okay. Well, anyhow, let's get back to tournament. Division II up at Logan High School in the sectional this Wednesday, February the 19th. I think you got the 8 o'clock game against the 4 seed Sheridan. I know they play in the MVL. The MVL's been down a little bit in terms of, you got Philo, Tri-Valley, Nulex, Sheridan, Maysville.
Yeah, you've got some good teams there. Tri-Valley's really good. Philo's pretty good this year.
New Concord.
John Glenn's very good.
Yeah,
so there's some good teams, and there's some teams that struggle. I tell you, Sheridan's got a really good team, though. It just goes right into this sectional being loaded this year. I think they're right around 15-5, maybe 16-5, something like that.
What do you know about them?
They are a very, very athletic team. They got some depth. They play about 9 kids, strong athletic kids. It reminds you, honestly, if you look at our schedule, take away Athens, because Athens is, I think, really, really good. But you take away those two Athens games, and this team would compare to the other teams we've played, the Zane Traces, the Eastern Browns, the Miami Traces. So we're going to have our hands full, but we're excited about the new season and an opportunity to do something special. And I think, I certainly don't think it's a terrible matchup for us. I think it's a game that if we go play well, we can hang in there and possibly win. But at the same time, it's not your typical 4-5 seed. I mean, this is a team, this Sheridan team on another year could easily be a 2 seed or something like that. You know, they've got a nice ball club.
Well, should be a good game. I take it now, you being the athletic director, are there preseason tickets available? And if so, how do Viking fans
get their hands? They're in the office, so just stop in during the day, and Pam or Carol in there will set you up. We've got pre-sale tickets, and the school gets $1 off every one of those, so it's nice if you can buy them in advance.
And I suggest people do that. That way you don't have to stand in line potentially for 20 minutes and get a bad seat once you actually get in Jim Myers Gymnasium. Another quick point, I take it they're clearing. You got the 8 o'clock game. Who's got the 6 o'clock game that night?
It's Logan Elm versus the winner of tonight's game between Nulex and Fairfield Union. You know, I don't know if they're clearing it or not. Do they normally do that? That's one thing as coaches we don't pay attention to because we just go in there and get ready.
Yeah, you got other fish to fry. But no, I know in the last several years they have cleared the gym.
They may clear the gym for that. It might be tough to handle both those crowds. I know they clear them for the finals.
Right.
I don't know about the semifinals. So people might want to get there early. I mean, of course, if you watch the first game, you're going to have to buy 2 tickets.
Yeah.
And I know people don't want to do that.
I have noticed over the period of time that the Southeast District, they do like to make money.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
they're they're not in it for charity.
No, I mean they're no different than all of us there. I think we all like to put a little money in our pocket, but I don't know if they clear that game, Carl. That might be something information might be available on the Southeast Ohio District Board, or I'm sure you can make a phone call somebody if they really want to find out. Call okay. Logan High School and ask them.
Well, maybe we can research that and get it on our Facebook page,
right,
you know, for that. But okay. I know you got to get out of here. We had some technical difficulties, and hopefully we got those things resolved. But nonetheless, as a result of that, that kind of put us behind. And secondly, Coach Combs is never on time to begin with, so it's not all my fault, folks. But I know you got to go. You got practice. Good luck to you. This will be our last podcast of the season. Are you coming back next year? Are you going to be our coach?
I hope so. Lord willing. But
I like to put you on the spot.
But I do, you know, want to thank you, Carl, for doing this show, and thank McDonald's and all the other people that are involved in this. It's it's fun, but it's work too, and so appreciate it, man.
Well, and I thank you very much first and foremost, and it is a little bit of work, but it's also fun, you know, razzing you and getting, you know, keeping up on what's going on. Also, we would be remiss not to first and foremost thank all the Viking fans that listen to us and come out and support the kids. I know you've made comments over the years about, you know, when you really sometimes you get cranky and things aren't going well, and then you stop and kind of take a step back and look at a lot of your other coaching peers, or, you know, the situations that they're in, right, not only in terms of fan support, which we have, you know, very good fan support, but in terms of your coaching staff, obviously, your two volunteers, Coach Jared Albright, Chris Neal, your freshman coach, Chad Carpenter, Travis Hale, your right-hand man and chief psychologist, N.J. Kite, my brother, Bruce Knox, who does a lot with, you know, the PA, Jerry Hawk, keeping the book, obviously, Terry Hale
does a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
And we make light of Terry, and we might actually have him in here, but Terry does just a boatload of work that is, you know, whether it's driving an hour to pick up film, or, you know, just there's a whole bunch of stuff that behind the scenes no one even knows about that he really does volunteer a lot of his time. So
it takes a village. It takes a village to raise an idiot coach.
What is it they say? You can't polish a turd, but you can keep trying.
That's right. Yeah. Hang in there, fellas.
Hey, good luck to you Wednesday night. Hope to have a big turnout. And coming up next, we'll be talking to one of the leading sports journalists in southeastern Ohio, none other than Paul Boggs from the Jackson Times Journal. He's next on the Viking Realm Well podcast. Back on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's, whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, I'm loving it. Well, as you well know, we had to say goodbye to our illustrious coach, Coach Matt Combs, as he had to get to practice today. But in our final segment of the year, episode 36, very happy to be joined by a guy I've known since we were back in school in the day. And one of my fellow OU graduate buddies, Paul Boggs from the Jackson Times Journal. How you doing?
Good, Carl. Good to be here.
Good. Well, that way, appreciate you making the trip up here. I know I normally, when I see you, it's at a basketball game or at a football game. And let's see, when did you graduate from Wellston High School?
I graduated from Wellston High School in 1995, believe it or not.
Okay, so you got a few years under your belt, so to speak. But you did graduate from the E.W. Scripps School of Journalism at Ohio University, right?
Yes, correct, in 1999.
Which is ranked where in the nation right now? I know they're up there.
It's always been in the top 10. It's one of the most illustrious journalism schools in the country, along with University of Missouri at right. Columbia, but the great journalism school.
Yeah, I know. I graduated from the TCOM school, and we always rivaled Syracuse, and you guys in the journalism, it's always, you know.
It's more of a news writing, per se, school, as opposed to broadcasting or sports or advertising
exactly.
or any type of journalism like that.
But you returned back home, and you've been with the Times Journal ever since, I take it?
Well, actually, I was a part-time employee at the Athens Messenger in finishing school. In the 98-99 school year, I got offered a job at the Parkersburg News and Sentinel in January 2000. Worked there for almost a year and a half. Was offered the sports editor's job at the Athens Messenger in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Worked there until for 3.5 years until late 2004. And I've been since at the Jackson County Times Journal since December 2004. So almost 10 years there.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
You you do this for a living as far as going out and covering every high school sport, and you've been in gyms, and you name it, you've seen it. So I know predominantly you cover the Jackson Ironman, the Wellston Rockets, and the Oak Hill Oaks, as well as Vinton County, and with a staff that is as small as the Times Journal staff is.
Your sport, you were looking at our sports staff.
You're the editor, the department?
I'm the sports editor there.
Okay.
So I am the sports staff.
But not to discredit the job that you do personally, because it's good, but you don't have 15 sports reporters that you're assigning people to go out.
I can only wish I had that many.
Well, you know, we can dream.
That's the way we work. Ray Stein hasn't made it to the Columbus Dispatch.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Time to get into some brackets. First and foremost, before we start breaking down the D2, the D3, and the D4, obviously the only D1 school in the Southeast District would be Logan, and that's, you know, kind of, we're not going to even go there. But in the D2, before I get to that, last week we kind of got into a, and you know me, I'm known to maybe sometimes ask tough questions or things that aren't real popular, and Coach Combs and I got into a conversation about the seeding process, because every year, and as a journalist, do you cover the tournament seedings?
I'm actually there at the seating meeting at Jackson High School. I'm not allowed to go into any of the rooms, but I'm more there to just gather the brackets when they come out and they're printed off.
And I
send those off to the other media outlets throughout the Southeast District.
Obviously, as a journalist or as a media type, you're not allowed in the selection rooms, but you sit out in the cafetorium, get a free meal.
That's always very helpful.
Yeah, and I hear the food's good.
Oh, it's good.
Of course, I don't get it.
This year we had ham and green beans, scalloped potatoes.
Wow. And
yeah, they upgraded big time.
Well, and I got to watch my – I'm being evaluated right now because the unofficial executive director of Vinton County Basketball Operations, Terry Wayne Dog Hale.
Sports writers never turn down free food, okay. Ever.
Well, I have never been invited to the tournament draw. Terry Hale, have you been invited? Have you ever been to the tournament draw?
Actually, no, but I have been invited, sorry to say, Carl.
Well, no, go ahead and one-on me. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyhow.
No, I would have gone if I'd known there was free food, because unofficial basketball operators don't turn down free food either.
Okay. Anyhow, back to the seating thing. There's a little controversy. And as I pulled up the brackets from the OHSAA website, and I look at all the different, you know, the Cincinnati, the Columbus, the Central, the East Central, all the different districts, I see, man, they do things a different way than we do.
They do things in what the Southeast District should be doing and catch up with the 21st century and go to an open draw across the board. The East District is just now doing it this year.
Right.
The Central District's always done it.
Southwest District's done
Southwest
it.
District has done it. Northeast does it. I mean, it's what you have with the Southeast District right now is like I listened to the podcast last week with your discussion with Coach Combs, and it really puts so much pressure on the coaches and causes friction and hard feelings with the politics that go into having the coaches with the seating process.
Right. So that being said, you do not have a different opinion than Coach Combs does. You're no. Very, very much in favor.
I would very much be in favor of having an open draw.
Well, you know, I think that some of us, you might want to get on preps. And I was talking to another coach, not even Coach Combs, someone else in the district. And then I was asking him, who all was on the board? You know, because he was started naming names, and some of them are actually coaches, some of them are ADs, school superintendents, principals, whatnot. But you knowing the politics of that entity, do you think that not that they care about us fans, but obviously I think they're starting to become an effort
There has been an effort by not only coaches but media members as well. A lot of people are trying to put pressure on the Southeast District Board. Whether it goes in one ear and out the other, that seems to be the problem, the case. There is a group on there that is set in their ways.
And what's their excuse?
Their excuse, they've used transportation as an excuse, or they can come up with Brett by any excuse, none of which are very good.
Right.
And it just they're just a group that is, I've always found, I like them individually, I think they're good people, but collectively they're set in their ways and don't take well to change or don't want to hear change, very resistant to it.
Okay. Well, let's get into the divisions. First, Division Two. Go to the Athens.
Carl, if I could interject.
No,
just one point. We were kind of talking about this out there in the green room before we came in. I mean, if they were wanting to use transportation as an excuse, they could no longer do that. Because if you look at the brackets this year, they went from the three sectionals in D3 to two. That right. means that Belpre has to travel to Jackson as opposed to Athens.
Right.
Nelsonville has to travel to Jackson as opposed to Athens. So I think, and then Alex. On the girls' side, I think Paul was making a point earlier was that
South Webster and Eastern of Pike County mm-hmm. both had to play their girls' sectional tournament at Meigs.
So needless to say, the transportation excuse, I think, has sailed.
And when you look at the boys here, explain to me how Guy Academy, who plays at Logan once a year and has always been in the Logan sectional, they are going to play in this year's Southeastern sectional,
right.
yet Logan Elm, who's the most obvious team that you would take that can go between sectionals between Logan and Southeastern, they are playing this year at Logan. So right. why? My biggest question is, why is Guy Academy at the Southeastern sectional?
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And that's the one thing that, you know, with the whole Guy Academy thing, that in hindsight, and I don't want to start throwing darts at anybody, but if Logan Elm would have gone...
If Logan Elm
would have gone to Southeastern,
we would not be having this discussion that we've had with Athens and Warren.
Not
Logan
at all.
Elm
last, so, last week. So let's get into the nitty-gritty in the Athens district. Let me get my bracket here. I got my regional bracket. Okay. Let's go to the Circleville Logan Elm that bracket that's got Logan Elm as a one. They're going to be playing the winner of New Lex Fairfield Union. I take it you see chalk there in the first round, Logan Elm.
I see Logan Elm.
It's been said you have to cross an ocean to find a quality vehicle.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Don't push that button, Terry Wayne Hale, the unofficial director of basketball operations.
I apologize.
Yeah, you better. You get one strike and you're out. Next one, you're gone. I'm tossing you. Anyhow.
JJ got an unlimited number of strikes.
Yeah. there's certain ways you got to manage people, and that's you just don't have an option there. But anyhow, you see chalk coming out of Logan Elm. That's going to set up probably the winner of Sheridan, Vinton County. Do you know anything about Sheridan?
Well, I don't know anything about Sheridan, but from who I've talked to, that's a pretty even matchup on paper, and that could be a coin toss game. I see Vinton County pulling that one off, though.
Okay, that'll be interesting. I've said this, and I love these kids. I'm indifferent to their coach, but Vinton County right now is like a box of chocolates, and you have no idea what you're going to get from game to game, night to night.
As we know, the tournament is all about matchups, and I think that's a favorable matchup for Vinton County to face Sheridan in the first round, and then move on to face Logan Elm in the sectional final.
In that lower end of that bracket, you got Minford coming from a D3 into a D2. They're the number two seed. They're going to be playing the number seven seed, Greenfield McLean. Have you had a chance to see
Minford? I saw Minford play Oak Hill this past Tuesday.
Obviously, the McCray kid who's going to be playing football at OU next year, he's a stud. What else can you tell us about the Falcons this year?
They really are centered around him. They try to get the ball into him. Defensively, they're not – they like to tighten up with a lot of half-court pressure. They did that to Oak Hill. I thought it was a game Oak Hill could have very easily won. Came down to the last possession. Mr. McCray made a foul shot there to actually in both games.
Right.
Both games. The first game between those two was 59-55 in overtime at Minford. And I believe the last seven meetings, Minford and Oak Hill, Minford has won all seven by 5 points or less in each.
Okay. Nonetheless, they'll be the winner of that game, and I take it you're going with chalk against Minford.
I pick Minford over McLean.
You got chalk there?
Yes.
Okay. We got 2-seed moving on past Greenfield. In that bottom side of that bracket, Minford, if they win, will be playing the winner of the 3-seed Chillicothe Unioto Shermans and the 6-seed Guy Academy Blue Devils. Chillicothe Unioto with their outright SVC conference championship. I know Vinton County, we played them earlier this year in the foundation game, and as early as that was in the season, they looked athletic as all get out.
Yeah, Jackson was at Unioto this past Tuesday. I didn't get a chance to see that game. It was mm-hmm. the same night as the Minford Oak Hill game. But Unioto, the SVC, traditionally very, very good league. We got Zane Trace this year that's state ranked. So for Unioto to win that league says a lot about what kind of year that they've had.
Yes, it's a tough the SVC is a tough
always league. A good conference.
Always a good conference. And you got Southeastern, like I said, Southeastern Zane Trace. So you I take it you see Guy Academy, you're taking Unioto.
I'll take Unioto. I think it'll be a close game. Good 6-3 matchup there. Guy Academy, I saw them early in the year at Jackson. I know they beat Benton County right. here on this last week. I don't think Guy Academy's schedule has been as strong this year as, say, some of the years past under Coach Osborne, but I still see Unita coming out of that one in close game.
Okay, and with that, let's go to the district. That'd be the sectional finals. You got Logan Elm probably going up against you're calling it Vinton County.
I'm gonna say Vinton County.
Okay, we're gonna abstain from a judgment on that. Your call, Mr. Boggs.
Logan Elm, Vinton County. I'll go with Logan Elm.
Can respect that.
I'd like to see a Vinton County win, though. Always root for the underdog in the tournament, but the Logan Elm has a lot of weapons, played a very tough schedule. The Dylan Young kid's a very special player for Logan Elm.
Yeah, and the latest on him, I know he rolled his ankle, a week or so ago?
Yeah, I believe he played in the next game.
He's back.
I talked to my colleague Brad Morris at the Circleville Herald last Wednesday night, and he said Young kid should be back, and not at full strength, but is back playing.
Okay, in the bottom half there, you're going to have Medford and Chillicothe in the district final, the sectional final. It'd be a 2 versus a 3. Who do you like there?
I am going to go with Medford, again, in a very close game. The SOC 2, very strong conference. Medford's only two league losses were to Valley, including Saturday night in 81-76 in double overtime at Valley.
Okay.
I'll go with Medford in that game.
Okay, go up to the top half of that bracket. You have something?
I was going
to
say, can I go with Not So Fast, My Friend from Lee Corso?
Sure.
I saw Chillicothe Unieto, and I tell you, Unieto is they've got four outstanding shooters and a couple of big men. I think they'll match up very well with Gallia. The True Kid's 6'7". The Cochran kid can absolutely just light it up from about anywhere. So I could see that being – I could actually see that being a double-digit win for Unieto.
You're taking Unieto. You're taking Medford. Mm-hmm. I don't know squat. Let's go up to the top after the bracket. This is the sands through the hourglass bracket. This is the days of our lives. Mm-hmm. This is the drama bracket. Okay, in the top half of that, you got the one seed. We got Washington Courthouse playing the winner of Hillsborough Jackson. That's chalk. I'm taking. We're all there.
I'm going to go with Courthouse to get through that to the sectional final Saturday night.
Okay, they'll be facing the winner of Miami Washington. Okay, they'll have. I'm sorry. Let's wait. Okay, they got Miami Trace, Circleville. Who do you like there?
I would go with Circleville. I saw Circleville play Jackson early in the year, right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a night Circleville shot the lights out. I think they had 10 threes that night. One kid had 6. Circleville shot the ball very well against Jackson. If they have that type of night against Miami Trace, I look for them to move on.
Do you have an opinion, sir?
Yeah, Miami Trace had 10 threes against us over there. They got two kids, a Smith kid, and I can't remember the other kid's name, but they both can light it up. That'll be a very intriguing matchup.
A good matchup is a 4 or 5 as you'll probably get.
Yeah, based on what you've seen out of Miami Trace and what you've seen out of Circleville, it sounds to me like both teams like to shoot the 3-ball. Oh, yeah. So, you know, that those kind of games tend to be which team gets the hot hand, which team comes out cold, a lot of times plays into that. You see Washington Courthouse playing, either Circleville, Washington Courthouse, and then in the bottom half of this bracket, you got the 2-seed.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you got the 2-seed Warren Local playing, they're going to be playing Pomeroy Megs, the 7-seed. I take it everyone is in agreement, chalk there.
Warren.
Yeah, Warren. Yeah. And then at the bottom, we have the 3-seed, the Athens Bulldogs, playing the 6-seed Marietta.
I like Athens, but I think Marietta will make a game of it.
So that's kind of you're liking Athens, but you're doing a little Not So Fast, My Friend.
Yeah, I think Marietta will make a game of it. They play in the very difficult.
They got some big kids.
In the ECOL.
Right.
You always hear all kinds of rumors about Marietta wanting back to the SEOAL.
Well, they've barely had time to miss us yet. They just were there for a year or two. This is their second year?
This is their, I believe, their third year.
Okay. Mr. Hale?
I'll tell you, this is going to be. This whole bracket is just I cannot wait. As much as I am a Viking fan, as a high school basketball fan, I cannot wait to see this bracket play out. I will tell you that I will go with Athens, but Marietta can match up with their size. But I'm telling you, Ibby Watson and Joe Burrell are special kind of players. So it's going to be interesting to see.
All right. I'll just let that side. Okay.
And keep in mind here, you never know with Athens if they still feel disrespected because how the tournament seeding came out. Could they be caught looking ahead to Warren? Would they still mad and not play as well against Marietta? I still look for Athens to move on. But
yeah, Okay, that okay, so we're both pretty much, I'm thinking Athens is going to take care of Marietta. I think Warren Local is going to take care of Meigs. That brings down the showdown, the one that never happened in the non-league schedule earlier this year. Obviously, Athens and Warren Local supposed to play clear back God knows when. They've tried to reschedule it. It's not happening. That game would have solved a lot of, potentially solved a lot of questions in terms of seeding, but this is the pivotal question of this whole district bracket. Warren Local, Athens.
Warren.
You like Warren over Athens?
I like Warren over Athens.
And why?
And why?
I have not seen Warren.
I saw both teams play Jackson, which is kind of a, really an apples and oranges comparison here, but I think just Warren is one of those teams that can physically take over a game when they need to. The French kid, I've seen him, very streaky player, very good player, can light it up with ease when he has to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the Michael Hall kid from Warren has come along very well this season. I just look for Warren having, if you want to give a strength of schedule, it might be a wash there, but Warren I think has played a little bit tougher opponents than Athens. If you want to break it all down, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I look for Warren to find a way to win that game, and they just played in Logan's gym just the other night, so their familiarity factor as well.
Okay. Terry Wayne, Pup Dog, Llama Hill.
Oh, my God.
You want an opinion or abstain?
I'm going to give it just a slight opinion, but I think I'm going to actually abstain from picking a winner. But I will say that when you look at the kids that are on this team, when you look at Ibby Watson and Joey Burrow on for Athens, and then you got Evan French, I believe. Is that
for Warren.
For Warren, and then Michael Hall for Warren.
Reese Patton for Warren as well.
Right. When you look at those kids, they're as phenomenal basketball players as I've ever seen. I cannot remember in my the 30 years I've been watching high school basketball that you'll see four kids like this alone in a sectional final game. So with having said that, I think Warren can do something against Athens 2-3 zone. French absolutely can shoot it just as well as Burrow can. I do think Warren's a little deeper than Athens. I think Athens only usually goes about six deep, but I'm going to call it too close to call.
Politically correct. Well, that being said, I don't have an opinion because I've seen Athens, obviously. I've seen them in person on film. I've not seen Warren Local, so I'd say
it's going to be a very close game, perhaps over time, within 4 to 6 points either way. It's unfortunate that these two teams are going, in all likelihood, are going to be meeting in the sectional final. This could very well be a regional type game, but yes. this year would be a district final. But it is what it is.
And I'm going to throw this out there so we don't kind of spend so much time on one bracket. But with that being said, with this Warren Athens matchup, as I see it, I do not think that Circleville nor Miami Trace nor Washington Courthouse, all three of those teams, are as good as either Warren or Athens. Do you disagree, either one of you, with that comment?
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all.
I will say, though, that I think the Washington Courthouse team is probably the third best team in that division.
Yeah, I saw them. They basically used us at our place. Of course, that was November.
They're big. They had strong guards, and they played extremely, extremely hard. So.
Okay, so you've got Warren Local coming out of the in that district semifinal. That'll be on February the 28th. You're too close to call. Let's go back down to the bottom of the half. You guys are talking. You're talking Unioto. You're talking Memphard. You see Logan. Do you see Logan Elm?
I would say Logan Elm would beat Memphard in a district semifinal, which would put your district final being Logan Elm and Warren.
Terry, you follow the MSL and the SPC. What do you, if you were to see a Logan Elm Chillicothe Unioto matchup?
Oh, Logan Elm. Logan Elm, like he said earlier, that Dylan Young kid is very special. Plus Logan Thompson, an ex-Vinton County kid. I mean, he's the one that really impressed me. I got the chance to see them against Hayes Valley last week. The young kid hit a shot there at the end of the game, the buzzer to tie it, to send it to overtime. But it was the hustle of Logan Thompson that just basically kept them in the game. He was diving for loose balls, got the tough rebounds, got the tough points inside. And he's a special player also.
Okay, so we're basically talking either Warren Local or Athens versus Logan Elm for the for that district final. That'll be March the 8th, 7 o'clock at the Convo. Are you going with your warm local?
I'm going with the Warriors.
You're going with the Warriors to come out of the district. Mr. Hale, you going to too close to call, abstain?
I'm going to abstain once again.
You ever thought about a field in politics? I understand. You don't want to say anything. And you know, obviously, Paul, you're a journalist. Your job is not to necessarily sugarcoat stuff. It's to tell it's your opinion, and that's why we have you here. So, that being said, let's move on to D3. This is where things get really, really fun. You know, let me get my bracket pulled up. And we go to the Athens 1 district. Oak Hill, Coach Norm Pearson's Oaks, in there as a one seat. They're going to play probably Fairland. I think you taking chalk there?
I'm taking Fairland over Belpre.
Okay,
and that is the first tournament game of the night.
That starts in 50 minutes.
Right.
So you're taking Fairland, and then as you go down that bracket, you got Sardinia Eastern and Edina. I'm taking four seats Sardinia. And then they'll play the winner of Southeastern and Northwest. I think everyone would agree Southeastern will take care of Northwest.
I like the 4 and the 5.
Okay, you got the 4 and the 5 in that bracket. You got Southeastern playing Sardinia. Do you have an opinion on that?
I haven't seen either team this year. I saw Eastern Brown play last year against Oak Hill in the district final.
Okay.
And Eastern Brown has a very good player named by the name of Nathan Scott.
Yeah, we know all about him.
You know all about him.
First game of the year. Yeah.
So I'll take Oak Hill and Eastern Brown to reach the combo there for March 2nd.
Okay. In the bottom of half of the Athens 1 district bracket, you got the 2 seat Zane Trace Pioneers. Coach Alley's Pioneers a 2 seat. They're going to play the winner of the Berg and the Huntington Huntsman. I'm guessing you're going to go with the Berg, the 7.
I'll go with Wheelersburg in that one.
Okay, bottom down, on the bottom side of that, Coach Davis's Chesapeake Panthers, they're going to take care of Rock Hill. I'm seeing chalk there. And then the bottom half of that bracket, you got Fed Hawk, a 6 seed, Howie Codwell's Lancers, playing a team that was just in Columbus not long ago.
Yeah, just last year.
And it's Coach LaFon's Ironton Tigers. And what are they, 1-19?
1-20, I think.
1-20, okay. But do you see Fed Hawk taking care of business?
I see Fed Hawk winning. I think it's going to be a little bit more interesting.
I would agree.
More interesting than what people think.
Ironton plays a much tougher schedule.
What's that tell you when, of a 15-team sectional, that Ironton is, with only one win, is seed 11th?
Look at their schedule.
Yes.
I mean, I think point well taken. So you're looking, as that thing shakes up, you're going to have Chesapeake playing Fed Hawk. Do you see Chesapeake chalk there?
I see a Chesapeake-Fed Hawk matchup. I see Chesapeake winning that.
Okay. And then you'll have the Berg versus Zane Trace.
And I will go with Zane Trace, although that might be one of those upset alerts type games. I've already heard from a couple of my colleagues would pick Wheelersburg to beat Zane Trace.
Mr. Hale, opinion?
I'm going to go with Zane Trace. I think Pierce Mowry, he's a sophomore. Before it's all said and done, he'll probably be a 2,000-point scorer. That kid can flat-out shoot it. Great basketball player. Plus, they got plenty of height around him. That's going to be that's a pretty good team.
Okay, let's stay on that side of the bracket. You're either going to have Chesapeake, the Berg, as you say, maybe not so fast, but, you know, Southeastern, the 2-7, that'd be a sectional final matchup, you know, so you're going to see basically maybe the 2 and the 3, or maybe you see an upset in Wheelersburg. If you see chalk roll on that and you see Zane Trace versus the Peak, you have an opinion, Mr. Hale, on that one?
No, I don't.
I know I've not seen Coach Davis's team. Have you seen?
I have not seen Chesapeake.
So a lot of this, folks, will just be transparent about it. You know, a lot of these, we haven't seen these teams. Going up to the top half of that bracket, I will say this, and Norm, you know, Oak Hill people, friends of the community, me and Norm buddies, I am not convinced that Oak Hill is a real strong number one seed.
If they were in the Waverly sectional this year,
that's a different story.
They would be a 6 seed.
Yes. Oh, yes. They would be that. Yeah, they would be. So with that being said, if you see chalk roll out of that bracket and Eastern advances and they're going to play, you know, they'll make it to I see Oak Hill if they, you know, and they should get to that juncture. They're either going to have Eastern Brown or Southeastern. Do you have an opinion?
I'll take Oak Hill. Norm Pearson finds a way to win in the convo, even though, and even he would agree, this is not his strongest team he's ever had.
I says you are right. Anyhow, what do you think, Pop?
I think Oak Hill. Well, you got to consider. I believe that Eastern Brown will come out of that, and then Eastern Brown will face Oak Hill, and Eastern Brown was beaten by Oak Hill last year, so I think they're. It's going to be a little bit of a revenge factor, considering now Oak Hill is a little not as strong as they were the last couple of years. So I'm going to say Eastern Brown on that.
My only comment is, and we didn't get in our Southeastern game with them. That was scrap, being a non-league game. But, you know, when we played Zane Trace, not that we're on the same level as these teams, but when we played Zane Trace, we played them tough until about, what, third, fourth quarter, and then they just kind of like kicked it into overdrive and just kind of laughed us out of the gym. And I was thinking to myself, Zane Trace is for real. And then, like you talked about, the Maori kid, he's good, he's real good, solid. And they got some very good skill position guys, really good. That being said, I remember a week or two ago looking at the SBCSportsZone.com website, and Southeastern just absolutely slapped Zane Trace in a game, beat him like 25 points. So I'm a little confused as to how good
Sal. And if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Piketon beat Zane Trace this year?
Yes. Yes, and Piketon was a team, and no disrespect to the Red Streaks, but Piketon was a bad, bad loss for us down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was one of our – I know Coach Combs was pretty upset about that from a standpoint of he really thought that we let that game get away, and that could have been a quote-unquote signature win, and then you see Piketon go and do that. So, the SVC is a tough conference, and it's one of those conferences that a lot of parity. So, cut right to the chase in that one. You see Oak Hill coming out chalk. You see Zane Trace.
In an Oak Hill Zane Trace district final, I'm going to go with the Oaks.
Wow, I still think Eastern Brown's going to come out of that top half. So I'm going to go Zane Trace, Eastern Brown, and I'm going to go with the Pioneers. I think the Pioneers can get it done. I think the Pioneers right now they're a special team.
I just think a Norm Pearson coach team, when he doesn't have his best team, he's done this at Chesapeake in the past too, when he doesn't have, quote-unquote, his best team, he finds a way to get out to the regionals every time.
Oh, there's no doubting Norm's greatness. And just ask him, but at the same time, it comes down to the Jimmies and Joes. Love you, Norm.
I can't. I'm not trying to sound like a sap. I agree with you to some degree, but I also agree with Paul in the fact that when you get into tournament time, sometimes
experience in the tournament and coaching experience in the tournament, especially.
Oh, absolutely.
Plays such a huge factor.
But having seen, and again, this is not. I have not seen Oak Hill since preseason, and that means nothing for all intents and purposes.
A lot of time, it's going to come down to how well they shoot the 3-point shot.
Right.
Because teams are going to guard Garen Stillner. It's a matter of. Right. They can make threes or not.
Okay, we need to move right along. The Athens 2 bracket, this is what is referred to, Athens 2 district, this is what's referred to as the Waverly bracket. You got the number one seed, Lucasville Valley, and I need to speed this up a little bit. Lucasville is going to play the 8-9 winner between West Union and Piketon. We see chalk there. Mm-hmm. Anyone? Mm-hmm. Then go down one, you're going to see number four seed Colgrove playing 13 seed River Valley. I think we see Colgrove chalk there. Then we see Crooksville versus Nelsonville York, a 5 versus a 12.
The dreaded 5-12 game. And remember, Crooksville beat Nelsonville York last year. In the sectional over at Athens.
And Nelsonville was a one seed.
Exactly. Crooksville, I think, looks forward to the tournament that gets them out of the Muskingum Valley League and down to competition that's probably better suited for them in the Southeast District.
Yeah, they're a D3, and they're playing some larger D2s.
They're playing the Philos and the Tri-Valleys and John Glenn's.
Right. So that should be an interesting one. I'm just going to read through these because, you probably might see Nelsonville once or twice a year if you're lucky, covering be it Wellston, something like that. Moving down, you see the 2-seed South Point playing Wellston. I see chalk there. 7, this is a good one. 7, Alexander 7-seed playing the 10-seed Waverly. That game is tomorrow night at 6, that's 8 o'clock game. What do you think there?
Alexander Waverly, I've had a chance to see both. I'm going to go with the Tigers in that one.
Wow.
I'm
going to be a homer and go with our fellow TVC guys. I think Jimmy Kern's done a wonderful job over there with the Spartans, and they play extremely hard. We saw them twice, and although we beat them like 24 over here, I think it was, we had to scrape out a win over there. And it was just because defensively, they're a sound basketball team.
No disrespect to Jim Kearns. I agree with everything you just said, but I'm going to go with the Waverly Tigers, and this is why.
Pierce Nicely.
Yes. Is that the same kid that just racked up 42?
He scored 42. I saw that in person down at Waverly that night. And he made his first four threes. He had 20 points in the first quarter, 2 in the second, got in foul trouble, actually got hurt for a little while or in the fourth quarter, came back, scored 20 more points, Scored 42.
I know, and that was extremely surprising to me because when we played him, of course, we had him early in the year. It was the Heibel kid that did all the damage against us. I think he had ended up with like 23 against us, hit a few three. I think the Nisley kid had one or two threes, but it was the Heibel kid that really did damage to us.
I can't think of another time that one player went off against the Norm Pearson coach team for 42 points and one team go off for 71 in a single game.
Wow. Ice says, I bet Norm was mad that night.
He was not too happy.
He probably threw his little purple towel.
Well, there was a rumor, you know, when you're around coaching circles, there was a rumor that when, after the game, Norm sat on the bus and quietly and talked to no one, just stewed.
Well, and that's the thing. I think this will be a good game. We need to move on, but I think that Jim Kearns has done an awesome job over there. He's got Jordan Hill as an assistant. That program is taking a new direction. But that'll be an interesting game. I look forward to hearing what happens down there. Then you got the 3-seed Portsmouth Trojans playing the 14-seed Westfall Mustangs. I'm seeing chalk there. Anyone disagree? Okay. Then we got the 6-seed Lynchburg Clay playing Portsmouth West. I know nothing about either one of those.
I know nothing about either team. But I will go with Lynchburg Clay.
Okay. So as we get down to the district, let's see, that will give us to the sectional finals in the 8 Athens 2 district to the Waverly sectional. You got Valley moving on. Take it, everyone's good there.
Valley.
And then you probably, let's see, that would leave a Cole Grove, Crooksville / Nelsonville.
I will take the whoever wins the Crooksville-Nelsonville game, I think that will be – Cole Grove.
Why don't we just shorten this bracket up? It's going to be Lucasville Valley, yeah, all the way out. I talked to Jeremy, a good friend of ours, Jeremy Ward, who's an official. I think he's had Lucasville Valley twice, and he says that they are very, very special.
I saw Valley down at Oak Hill. Valley runs the flex offense very well. They got probably the best player in D3 in both mm-hmm. District 13, District 14 combined in the Hayden Dunn kid.
Yeah, I think you did the broadcast a favor by saying let's. And I will say this, J.J. Hale, who works for me, who's an assistant volunteer for Norm Pearson's Oak Hill, he told me, I think it was the second time that they spanked the Oaks. He made the comment. He said, if they don't get to Columbus, someone's hosed things up bad. And I said, is that your opinion, or is that Norm's opinion?
But you got to remember that Portsmouth Valley District Final will be classic.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it will be. It will be a good one. But
I can see Valley coming out there because I saw Portsmouth against Logan. We went up there to scout Logan, and we happened to catch Portsmouth. And Portsmouth had a lot of trouble shooting the ball from the outside. They got a great inside presence. I can't remember his name, but he was a great athlete. But they had trouble. I think they finished the night with like 3 of 23 from beyond the arc.
And Portsmouth is going to have to defend in this game because they held Evan French to 3 points over at Warren early in the year when they won that game over there. So it can be done.
Well, and of course, with those two districts, they're not the Athens 1, the Athens 2 do not face each other. Actually, the Waverly, the Athens 2 district will end up going up against the St. Clairsville district, which we're not going to go through. And then in terms of a regional semi, and then the Athens 1 district, they're going to go up against the Columbus 2, which they'll probably, you know, they're looking at the likes of Columbus Bishop Reedy,
Harvest
Bishop Hartley. They're all in that district, yeah. So that's the way that's going to split up. Let's quickly get through D4 because I don't know my butt from a hole in the ground about D4. But anyhow, you just have the Athens 1 and the Athens 2. They will not face off in the regional semis. That's the same way as the D3 works. Let's go to the Athens 1 district, the 1-seed Racine Southern Tornadoes, Coach Caldwell's team. They're going to play the winner of the 8-9 seed between Webster and Miller. Any opinion there?
I see Southern getting out of that game.
Out of West.
Southern's probably had a year. I haven't followed Southern that closely, but it seems like they've maybe even overachieved this year some.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then as you go down, they're going to be, if Racine, there's chalk, they take care of the winner of the play-in game. They're going to face either 4-seed Bainbridge, Paint Valley, or Portsmouth Clay. I'll take Paint Valley.
You got to remember, Paint Valley always plays up and they're scheduled with the SEC.
Yeah, right. we were talking about this out there in the green room. I really, really like Paint Valley coming out of that into the districts there. I think at the time of the draw, they had an 8-10 record. That's not indicative of how good they are. They got a kid named, I believe his name is Matt McCloy. He's averaging double-double. He's averaging almost 17 points a game, 15 rebounds a game. And then they have a nice little guard. I unfortunately can't remember his name. But, yeah, I believe the paint value is going to come out of that sectional.
Okay, in the bottom half of that Athens 1 D4 bracket, you're going to have the 2-seed Leesburg Fairfield. I see chalk rolling as they're going to face the winner of the 7-seed Western Latham team, as well as going up against 10-seed New Boston, who has not had a very good year at all. I'm just going to say that's going to line up a kind of what I see to be a 3-2 Leesburg Fairfield and Beaver Eastern. Have you seen Eastern?
I saw Beaver Eastern at Oak Hill, very first game. Mm-hmm. Season, November 30th. And Eastern shot 34 threes, made 8. They come back the next game, play at Wellston, and they couldn't miss. They made 13, 14 threes that night.
Do you have an opinion on any of this?
Well, I saw Leesburg Fairfield over the summer. We went over there to scrimmage them during the summer. And I tell you that they're a big team, got great guards, can shoot it. They're kind of like that Paint Valley team. They play up. They play in a tough league.
They play in the what used to be the Southern Hills League.
It's still the Southern Hills Athletic Conference right. With Peebles and Eastern Brown and
right.
So West Union. I could see them coming out of that. I see them coming out of that sectional too, whether it be against Beaver Eastern or anybody else.
That should be, if that happens, that'll be a good matchup. Let's but as I guess we kind of cut to the chase is all of us don't spend a lot of time on the D4. Do you see Racine Southern being strong enough that they're going to be chalked through the whole thing?
Not strong enough that they're chalked through the whole thing. It's not a given, no. Okay. I look for if in a district, it'd be a district final between Leesburg Fairfield and Racine Southern. I see Leesburg Fairfield getting out of there.
Yeah, really? Okay. I would have to agree because, like he says, and I think we're basing this argument on premises of strength of schedule in terms of what conference you come from. I would, even though I'm a TVC guy,
and what you said, if Leesburg Fairfield has some size and size, I always like those teams that have that size, because mm-hmm. when you're this late in the season, your legs are tired. When you're those shooting teams that rely heavily on three pointers, it's a roll of the dice every tournament game whether they're on making those threes or not.
Well, and when we talk about that Southern Hills Athletic Conference or the SHL, the new name being, I've had many refs that I'm buddies with say I love going over there and calling games because I always get a good game. A lot of those schools over there don't have football, so they live for basketball. And when you have, your Peebles, your Manchesters, your West Unions, North Adams,
White Oak.
Those teams, they really, I think it's just a better quality of play year in, year out. I could be wrong this year than the TVC Hawking, so that'll be interesting. Let's go to the Athens 2 District. Right there, the big kahuna right at the top, Peebles. Very impressive team, very impressive record. I don't see anybody. They're going to play the winner of the 8-9 North Adams Manchester game. See chalk there, and those are all three league teams. Then they're going to face, if Peebles makes it through their first game, they're going to face the winner of Waterford Gloucester. Do you see any surprises there?
No, Peebles right through there.
Going down to the bottom half of that bracket, Sims Valley is a 2-seed out of the SOC 1. They're going to get the winner of the 7-seed South Gallia versus 10-seed Franklin Furnace. I'm seeing chalk there. Sims Valley's probably going to move on.
Sims Valley should win that game.
Okay, and then the bottom half of that, you got Portsmouth Notre Dame, the 3-seed. They get the winner of the 6-seed Sidoville East against White Oak, 11-seed this year. You see chalk there?
I see Notre Dame winning that one.
Okay, let's
should be chalk all the way through. I think it's going to come down to the district final. It's going to come down to Peebles, number one Peebles, and number two Sims Valley.
I see Peebles Notre Dame in the district final.
You see Notre Dame, okay. And as far as the Athens district, and then like I said, just like in the D3, the winner of the Athens 2 district, that's the one that Peebles is in. They're going to be facing the Columbus 2 district. You got a lot of what I call suburban. Outside of Columbus, small schools, the 3-seed Lancaster Fairfield Christian, tough team. They're the 3-seed in that, and that is an open draw. That I can look by looking at the numbers, I can tell the way they do it up in Columbus in that district. It ain't the way us old timers do it down here.
You get in the 21st century.
Yeah. Tell you what, should be an interesting time. I know you probably don't spend a lot of time at the house for the next three or 4 weeks.
No, basically the month of February, I'm on the road. Somewhere.
Am I keeping you? Are you covering the game tonight?
I have the Jackson Hillsborough game at Southeastern at 7 o'clock tonight, so we're still good.
So you got time to get on here. And you, I mean, you're actually probably as close, if not closer, to Southeastern from here than you are. So all worked out well. Appreciate you coming in. Appreciate your opinion. Anything else, Mr. Unofficial Executive Director of Basketball Operations?
No, I just wanted to think. I never think I really got a chance to thank you. I think that you do a wonderful job with this podcast. I think it's great that we can get this kind of information out to those, what, six listeners now?
Hey. Actually, last week, and normally, nothing against kids, when we do a local feature, ratings don't tend to be as high. We use a program called Google Analytics that can tell us, that's kind of the beauty of podcasting. It won't tell us their name or anything like that, but we can look at how many people listen to the podcast, how long they listen to it, and where they're listening to it. Now, obviously, the subscribers, they subscribe, but they could download it. We don't know. But as far as hits, I think last, I don't know about all time, but last week was in the top three this year.
Excellent.
Obviously, we got a big draw with Norm's interview, big draw with Coach Osborne's interview. Mm-hmm. But I think it was all. I think a lot of it was just the coaching drama.
I think the word's getting out, though. I think that we got a surprise coming up at the end of the week. You don't want to talk about that?
I'll talk about it. I mean, we just found out today that Hardwood Heroes. You ever watch that?
Oh, from WOUB.
They're coming in here to do a video piece segment on us. They wanted to come today. They couldn't do it, and we had hours notice. I'm a little drawn up, dude.
Oh,
there's a reason I ended up in audio and not video.
Just relax.
But anyways, again, you do a great job. I really appreciate it. And also, like us on Facebook, Vinton County Viking Basketball. We got 700 likes now, all because of your charming personality, I'm sure.
You're way too
kind. Now you need to get yourself a Twitter page.
Yeah.
Even I went to a Twitter page. Right? Yeah, it's my work page at the Times Journal.
Right. Well, I'll probably do that someday. But yeah, thanks.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Terry Wayne Hale, and then you're at?
I'm at Boggs TJ Sports.
At Boggs TJ Sports.
There you go. Follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page.
Well, I think we've given the listeners everything and anything they could have wanted from a podcast, from dealing with the coach. It's a shame that Coach Combs, of course, he gets very political when it comes to picking winners, and obviously he's in a kind of a tough spot.
You can follow him on Twitter, too, at mcombs25, I believe it is.
Does he even tweet?
He does every once in a while, especially during red season. You know how that goes. He was lambasting Dusty Baker last year on Twitter. It was hilarious.
Well, okay. Well, for Matt Combs, for Paul Boggs, for the unofficial executive director of Vinton County Basketball Operations, Terry Wayne, Pup Dog Llama Hale, I'm Carl Knox saying aloha and so long for the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.